Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Shira Springer. Let's turn now to the challenges of urban transportation and the potential for deadly collisions between bikes and cars.
Just last month, we were reminded of that here in Boston. Anita Kerman, a 38-year-old medical researcher, was struck and killed by a tractor-trailer turning onto Beacon Street in Back Bay. She was at least the 13th cyclist killed in Boston since 2010.
Tragedies like these and the growing number of cyclists in Boston, they've doubled since 2007, are prompting calls for protected bike lanes and demands that motorists share the road. It sounds reasonable if you're a cyclist. But what about the argument that says bikes don't belong on busy city streets?
That's what columnist Jeff Jacoby wrote recently in the Boston Globe in a piece he called Urban Roads Aren't Meant for Bicycles. He wrote the tragic death of Anita Kerman is the latest reminder that cyclists and traffic don't mix. He says it's not just foolish to pretend otherwise, it's deadly. And Jeff Jacoby is with us now. Good to have you.
Anthony, great to be back. Hi, Shira.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in. So according to the State of the Hub, the numbers of bikers on city streets around Boston has almost doubled since 2007. Greater Boston has made a big investment in the Hubway bike sharing program. But you argue, keep bikes off these busy streets. Say more about that. Why?
Well, I decided to write this column after seeing piece after piece after piece in the wake of the death of Dr. Kerman. And every one of these pieces seemed to proceed from the premise that bicycles belonged on streets in even greater numbers, perhaps, than they are now, and that all we should be concentrating on is focusing on how to make it even easier for bicyclists to navigate streets like Massachusetts Avenue and Comm Ave and Beacon Street. And after reading one too many of these pieces, I found myself thinking, I don't agree. I hear from people all the time who don't agree. I think it's worth making the point that you can't have everything in a busy city that you might want. And one of those things on major urban thoroughfares like Mass Ave, especially Mass Ave at rush hour, is to share or to partition part of that road into lanes for bicycles. Cars operate at 300 horsepower. They're thousands of pounds in weight. They're deadly killing machines if they're not handled properly. Anybody who's even a halfway decent driver knows that to drive a car, you've got to pay attention to what other operators of 300 horsepower, 5,000-pound potential killing machines are doing. And when you add a whole new set of distractions, you make the streets even more dangerous. Bicycle riders and bicycle riding, wonderful. I have nothing against bikes. like everybody else in America, I grew up riding a bicycle. But there's a point at which you have to set priorities. The priorities for the main streets in any urban area, I would argue, especially ones like Boston, where there isn't the room to widen the streets and add on new lanes, which could conceivably be protected, separated bicycle lanes, the priority has to be for what the true, you'll forgive this way of putting it, the true mass transit in our cities is. And the true mass transit are people driving cars, taking buses, and going on public transportation.
So which streets? I mean, which streets would you keep bicycles off of? Main thoroughfares, busy thoroughfares, thoroughfares that couldn't be supplemented with a protected bike lane.
Right, exactly. I would not do what we've been doing in recent years, increasingly see happening more and more, which is designating first indications that certain lanes should also be shared with cyclists, with the little sharrow, the double arrow in the sign of the bicycle, and then segregating some of those or marking off some of those lanes only for bicycles. When you don't have enough room as it is for all the motor traffic that moves on these roads, to say we're going to have even less of it. I heard that in California they call this now putting streets on a road diet or a lane diet so that cars have even less room to navigate the roads that they're used to
being
on.
But aren't we in a situation, Jeff, where American cities, Boston in particular, are already too full of cars, and the whole movement to getting people to think about alternative forms of transportation, whether it's walking, taking public transportation, or riding a bike, is good for the urban experience to sort of get people to rethink their decision to get into cars and bring them into the middle of the city?
It's a point of view. A lot of people share. I repeat, I have nothing against people riding bicycles. And as I pointed out in my column, there are lots of places in Boston and in most cities where there are great biking experiences that are designed for that purpose. The Esplanade, the Arboretum, lots and lots of places where you can ride bicycles. But to say that we need to change our cities and change our transportation flows and change the way our main arteries work when we depend, when almost 90% of people who commute to work, who go to school, who transport goods and services and commerce through the cities, 90% depend on those roads, to say that we need to radically reimagine how we use our roads because nationwide 0.6% of people want to ride their bicycles to work, or even in Boston, less than 2% of people will commute to work. To say that that's a good use of resources, I think is short-sighted, and as terrible accidents like that one last month, make you realize it can also have a cost in blood.
All right. Well, we're going to get some different perspectives here. We're going to encourage our listeners to get in on this conversation. Are you a cyclist? If so, what do you think of Jeff Jacoby's idea that the safest way to avoid deadly collisions with cars and trucks is to stay off of the busiest streets? Or maybe you're a motorist with thoughts on this as well. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And let's get another point of view into this conversation. Jeff Rosenblum is co-founder of Livable Streets. For the past 10 years, he's advocated for better, safer cyclist infrastructure in and around Boston. He's also the former transportation planner for the city of Cambridge. And Jeff Rosenblum, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Now, I might take to calling you both Mr. Rosenblum and Mr. Jacoby so we don't confuse our Jeffs. But before I do that, I want to get Shira back into this conversation because we were talking this morning, Shira, about this. And I sort of said to you, I might have to reveal my bias to Jeff Jacoby because I'm a cyclist and this sort of this rubs me the wrong way, his proposal. But you said, I kind of get where he's coming from. On a couple of points at least.
Yeah, I do kind of get where Jeff Jacoby is coming from in this sense. I'm an avid runner, and I sometimes feel that cyclists are everywhere. They're on the sidewalks, they're in the bike lanes, and they ride with a sense of entitlement.
Sure do.
And as I feel that it puts pedestrians at danger, other, people who are just out there and minding their own business, they whiz into intersections. So in some respects, I think there's an overcrowding problem. And I guess, Jeff Rosenblum, what would you say to that?
I think this whole conversation is coming from a point of frustration from a lot of people. Jeff Jacoby expresses frustration with drivers not being able to get where they want to go in a reasonable amount of time. But there's also frustration by, as we've read in the news, people taking transit, and clearly a lot of frustration for people who want to bicycle around. And I think it's also important to point out that a lot of the trips that people take by bicycle is not for commuting. People take local trips. 75% of trips taken are not for getting to work, but all the other uses around town. And so there is a lot of overcrowding. And the question is, what is the future of our city going to look like if we're going to continue to grow and if we're going to continue to have a lot of mobility and people moving around?
Yeah. What's your response to this basic idea that just keep bikes off of the busiest streets as just a sort of common sense approach to saving lives?
I mean, I disagree with Jeff Jacoby on that as a solution. You could say that by removing all the bicyclists from the street, it would be safer. But it turns out that that's actually not the case. The more cyclists there are, statistically, the more people get used to riding with cyclists, driving around cyclists, and actually the safer it is. And countries that have a high amount of cycling end up being the safest.
Yeah. Jeff? Jeff Jacoby.
Well, two thoughts. One, on this last point that Jeff Rosenblum makes, yes, there are other countries that have a different kind of road culture and a biking culture. I've been hearing from everybody about the Netherlands and Copenhagen and all the rest of it. They also have very strict enforcement of rules on cyclists. Mm. And as Shira mentions, you can be running, jogging in traffic. You can be pushing a stroller along the sidewalk, for that matter. Never mind being in a car sitting at a red light and watching all the cyclists who are racing through, shifting lanes abruptly because they want to make a left-hand turn. They're in the right-hand lane, figuring that, in fact, in some
but
parts
isn't that
of the country,
a call for better enforcement by traffic cops to sort of clamp down on us bicyclists, as opposed to saying, get off the streets for
good? But if what the cyclist will say in response, for example, one of my colleagues told me that he felt the way you did. In fact, he put it more strongly. He said this was one of the worst. Never has he read something that I wrote that he disagreed with more strongly.
I got to say, Jeff, it brought out the inner Stephen Colbert in me. I wanted to say to you, why do you you hate freedom.
I love freedom. That's the whole point.
Just not for cyclists.
Freedom, no. Freedom doesn't mean that everybody gets everything they want and can use all the same facilities at the same moment when it makes no sense whatsoever. And this brings me to a different point. At least motorists have to have their cars registered. They have to have driver's license. You have to pay taxes on your, excise taxes. You pay a special tax for transportation, which partly funds bicycle lanes. When you put gas in your car, there are all kinds of obligations that we impose on motorists. None of those obligations are imposed on bicycles and bicycle owners. And to say better enforcement is just another way of saying let's make the traffic even slower. Because that's what the cyclists would argue. Well, it's not reasonable to expect us to come to a full stop and wait for the light to change. We'll have what they call in some places an Idaho stop, where we can sort of roll through it. That's just to say that you're going to do away with that means you make traffic even slower. I don't see how it improves the flow of traffic to be putting even more obstacles in the path of the traffic flowing.
Jeff Rosenblum.
Well, you put a lot on the table there. I think one thing that is worth mentioning is that the repercussions for drivers in this country for hitting pedestrians and cyclists are very low compared to other countries. So in terms of enforcement in Europe, if a driver hit a cyclist and hurt or killed them, they might actually go to jail, whereas here that doesn't happen. And so there is a lot more enforcement, but a lot of that enforcement is focused on drivers. There's a lot of rules around driving because they know in Europe that cars are killing machines and they want to minimize the amount of harm that cars are going to do. In terms of the paying, there have been a lot of reports that have debunked the people who drive end up funding all the transportation system, and so therefore they should be the ones that get to use the roads. That's been debunked. There are a lot of subsidies that are not paid for by drivers that go into our roads. But it did make me think that for pedestrians, maybe instead of pushing the button to cross, we should charge them to cross the street. I mean, clearly we have a city that we want a lot of people walking.
There are two very, very different modes of transportation. There's motor traffic and there are bicycles. Bicycles are essentially, for most people, much of the time, bicycles are recreational vehicles. You don't expect people to be pushing strollers in the middle of Mass Ave. You don't expect people to be riding horses and pony carts down Mass Ave. It's not what these streets people got bent out of shape when I said the roads were made for cars. Our roads today are designed for the use by cars, and to stick this whole, as it were, alien kind of transportation mode in the middle and expect it all to work out is a prescription for disaster.
Yeah, but in fact, many of Boston's roads were made for horses and cows, and the point is that the city adapted to the automobile, and now we have too many automobiles, and we have to adapt again. And it just seems to me that bicycles are part of that necessary change that cities have to go through.
So, Anthony, one thing I think a lot of the comments on Twitter. Well, first of all, I think this whole conversation came out of a lot of people's frustration. And sometimes it takes a community event like, unfortunately, someone dying for this conversation to happen. So I appreciate that you published what you did and this conversation is happening. And I think we want to get to solutions. We want to get to how do we change things. And one of the ways to do that is to recognize that so many trips are driving trips. And if those short trips could be converted to biking trips, walking trips, or transit trips, that would relieve so much pressure on our roadway system such that people who do need to drive can drive.
Jeff Rosenblum, your solutions all seem to be pointed toward more bikers, more bikers, more bikers. If we have more bikers, more people will pay attention to them. If people take short trips and make them biking trips and not car trips, that will be better. Do you have any non-biking solutions to the biking problem? For example, we talk about bike lanes that are more visually separated from the regular traffic lanes. Perhaps we should enforce the fact that Segways like to travel in the bike lane on the Mass Ave bridge, which diverts the regular cyclists into the main lane of traffic. What are some, if you can't get everybody on bikes, what are your solutions?
Right, and I guess I want to repeat what I said in the sense that we are not going to get everyone on bikes, and I don't think that's the solution for cities. And I think this part of this conversation has been turned into you either drive or you bike. And even the concept of saying somebody is a cyclist, in other places, they're not a cyclist or a driver. They're a person who happens to be driving this day or on this particular trip. Maybe they drive to work, but then when they get home, they bike to the grocery store. And so they would never consider themselves either a cyclist or a driver.
But what can we do to bring the two sides together, so to speak, you know, to strike a compromise of sorts where we can coexist better and do it better?
If we create options so that people have that choice, so that they can drive for the trips that make sense to drive, and they can bike for the trips that make sense to bike, and take transit for the trips that make sense to do that. And I think there is a misconception in Europe, Jeff Jacoby mentioned the Netherlands, that they don't have cars. That is totally false. They have car ownership is very high in the Netherlands. They just don't use them for the majority of short trips. And that's the difference. And if we can get to a network of bikeways that allow people to be able to bike around, connecting the network that we have, Jeff Jacoby mentioned that there are some places, and if you look at them on a map, they're disconnected. So if one wanted to try to get around, not on the street and on these protected, separated bikeway networks, we can't. And so we need our region to build that network.
Well, that's the thing. And Jeff Rosenblum, this gets to my frustration about this, because a few months ago, we made a big deal on this show that they're finally going to put a protected bicycle lane, I think for 0.6 mile out here on Commonwealth Avenue, which is a very, very busy and potentially dangerous street. We had a fatality here. A young BU student was killed just a couple of years ago, pretty much right underneath this building. But I'm sort of frustrated by the progress because it's so slow. We're talking about 0.6 mile, the first protected bike lane in the city of Boston.
Yeah, I think people are frustrated at the pace of change, but at the same time, if we want all of us together, and a lot of the listeners that are out there thinking, you know, how is this really going to change? And I drive and I can't even see myself biking on these streets. These things are going to start to change, but change has to happen at a pace that works with society. And I think certain cities, and there's a report that's getting worked on around leadership, places like New York where you have leadership that said from the top, we want to change how our city operates, and has created spaces for pedestrians on Broadway and changed the dynamics of the streets. That's how change happens faster.
I want to go to some callers. Jeff Jacoby, I know you're
urged
to say something. Yeah, just hold on to it for a second. Let's go to John, who's calling from Waltham. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. Well, you know, I have to agree with some of the things that both guests are saying, but I do have to say that this concept of protected bike lanes really is not, they aren't protected. They aren't protected at intersections, which is where these fatal crashes are happening. They're happening because big trucks are turning right across the path of bicyclists, and putting a bicyclist in sidewalk space isn't going to change that. So I really think, in a way, that both Jeff Jacoby and Jeff Rosenblum are talking the same side of the argument. Get the bicyclists off the street. You can't be riding in a space like that and be safe unless you're going slowly and you tolerate large delays, and then you get more law breaking.
So, John, what's the solution in your view?
Well, you know, the problem is there is no one single simple solution to this problem. I'll agree that in some places it's separation. In some places it's got to be finding a parallel street. I think that is really good way to look at it around Boston University, especially with this Alston Interchange project that could create alternatives to Commonwealth Avenue. And education and law enforcement, which I applaud Jeff for mentioning, are both Jeff Jacoby.
Rosenblum.
You got two Jeffs.
Oh, Jeff Rosenblum.
Well, maybe both of them. They're both very serious issues.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the network of bike lanes in Boston has created a generation of bicyclists that think that riding in the place where the car door can open in front of you is the best we can do.
John, you've put a lot on the table, and I want to just hold on to some of these ideas, and I'm grateful for them, but I want to move on to some other callers to give some other folks some time to express their views. But thank you for calling. Let's go to Kimberly, who's calling from Jamaica Plain. Kimberly, you're on the air.
Hi. It's widely known that Boston is the most dangerous place to drive in the United States. So I really think that it's just too unsafe for bikers. Like, unless you're going to change the culture of driving in Boston, I agree that it's just not something that we're going to see here.
Not saying so. It sounds like you're agreeing with Jeff Jacoby that just keep the bikes off.
It's unfortunate because I would love to drive. I would love to bike around, but it's too unsafe.
Yeah. Well, there's someone who agrees with you, Jeff.
It's a funny thing, you know. To listen to our conversation here, you'd think that this whole debate gets takes place as a peaceful Socratic dialogue where voices are low and emotions are cool. I had a real, you know, it's funny. I've been at the Globe for more than 20 years now. This is the first time I ever wrote about the subject of bicycles. So I found that there's still things that I can learn about reader response or reader reaction. And the Shira mentioned before the sense of entitlement that a lot of cyclists have. The venom, the poison, the harshness, the nasty comments, even, you know, one or two death threats that I received.
Wow.
Suggests to me that this has gone way beyond a question of, can't we all get along together? And instead, it's become, at least for many cyclists, and I certainly exclude Jeff Rosenblum from this characterization, but for many people with bicycles, this has become a crusade, a part of a war that they feel they're waging against cars, against motor vehicles, in favor of bicycles, and that they're no longer interested in talking about sharing roads. They want roads partitioned. They want roads divided so that whole chunks of it are turned over to cyclists. And if you disagree with that point of view, you are not just somebody that they disagree with, but you can expect a lot of demonizing and delegitimization and harsh language.
I mean, I don't obviously share...
No death threats here, though.
No death threats here. I don't share those kinds of views. But I think the frustration that I feel that maybe you got a little bit of a taste of from some of the listeners is that it's sort of the bicycles, in a way, are on the sort of tip of the spear of the kind of recklessness of drivers. I mean, we're the first to see it and in many cases to be hurt by it.
I agree. Driving, I mean, I said it right from the beginning, driving is dangerous. It's potentially lethal. Cars can be killing machines. Yeah. And Boston has a reputation for lousy drivers. Although, honestly, almost every city I've ever heard of,
I think a lot of people take pride in
the lousy driving habits there. But to say that the solution is somehow to get more people on bicycles into the middle of all this, to think that you're going to be able to change a culture that 90% of people depend on now, for the most part, to get where they're going, I think that's just delusional.
Right.
And that's not the way that you change. You can't change a culture in a city that easily.
Let's go to Lizzie, who's calling from Brookline. Lizzie, you're on the air.
Hi there. I agree with Jeff Jacoby in that I think the two big issues in terms of driving in the city, one is people like myself who have jobs where you have to drive, salespeople, delivery drivers. They're driving all day long. It obviously can get frustrating, and in particular with bikers being there and often being rude to drivers and pedestrians. But even more so, the issue of the city being so expensive that most people can't afford to live in it. And the people who can afford to live in it generally are young and hip, and so they're the people who want to ride bikes. But what about all the commuters? What about all the people who need to get into work? So much of the economy in Massachusetts is based out of Boston.
Lizzie, listen, I'm grateful for this point, and I just want to give Jeff Rosenblum, we only have about a minute left here, but as I listen to Lizzie, Jeff, it sounds like, I don't know, she's making a case, among other things, for more mass transit.
Right, and I think that's the issue is that this isn't a bikes versus cars. This is a how do we want more people to be able to get around the city to their jobs, to where they do recreation, and we can't do more of that. We can't do more of that unless we have better mass transit and better bike and pedestrian infrastructure. Once we have that, I think we will see that people that need to drive will still drive, and people who have other options will choose them. And we see those options. We see people doing that now. There's a craving for people to want to do something differently, and we're starting to see that out on the streets.
All right. Well, that's Jeff Rosenblum. He's co-founder of Livable Streets and former transportation planner for the city of Cambridge. Jeff, thanks so much for coming in. And Jeff Jacoby, author of Urban Roads Aren't Meant for Bicycles. He's a Boston Globe columnist. Jeff, thanks for putting this really provocative idea on the table and for sparking this great conversation.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
It's good to have you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Shira Springer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.